Welcome to the Stick Boy Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Johnson, and I'm here with my fellow co-host, Anthony Torres.
Hello, hello.
So today, we're going to get rickety-wrecked and talk about...
We're
going
to get swifty.
And we're going to talk about season 3 of one of the hottest shows on TV, Rick and Morty.
So, what is your first impression of season 3 as a whole? What did you think, start to finish?
I thought it started off really, really strong. I really liked a lot of the episodes. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite episode of all time was the Atlantis episode, about the Citadel of Ricks and Evil Morty becoming the mayor of that area.
Yeah.
I think that was by far the best episode. Then I felt like it kind of teetered off a bit. Mm-hmm. I thought they still had important development character-wise, but I thought the finale was a little...
weak?
Yeah.
Okay, so in my personal opinion, had they switched up the last 3 episodes and had the Citadel of Rick being the final episode, the season as a whole would have been perfect. It would have been really good, really well done. The last episode was just kind of disappointing for a season finale, you know? It just didn't sit right. It didn't feel like that was the end of Rick and Morty. Like, oh, this is it. This is the season finale. This is a good one. You know, like, it definitely felt like they were missing a lot of points. If they had the Citadel of Rick being the last episode, that one would have been phenomenal. That would have been the best way to end season 3, personally. Because the last couple episodes after that did not explain anything to do with Evil Morty. You know, like, it left so much questions unanswered.
It kind of left you hanging for... because I think when you saw Morty, you were like, okay, we need more. We need more from Evil Morty. Because I think that's something... I remember when that episode first aired and seeing that episode and going, holy crap. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I need more Evil Morty. And then we waited and waited and waited.
Nothing happened.
And when we finally got it, it's kind of like... I guess you could go back to a little bit of that Stranger Things, where you get the demi-dogs crawling up, and then you cut to the story about Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've suddenly missed out on that. You missed out on capitalizing on that momentum.
Yep.
What do you think of the family getting back together?
Okay, I loved that episode. Don't get me wrong. I thought that was a great episode. I thought everything to do with was great. Like, all the episodes were good at the end. But the problem was, the last episode just did not feel like a season finale episode, you know? But the whole family getting back together and Rick kind of now being an outcast was important, and it helps progress the show because Rick is always like, oh no, I'm not a family man, I don't want anything to do with the family, but, you know, Jerry's a terrible person. And now they're all kind of back together, and I think that's really neat, and it really helps progress the story.
Yeah.
It really helps Rick, you know, he's kind of on the outs now.
Yeah, which is the first time.
First time that Rick is now on the outs of his family.
You remember the Szechuan episode where he's doing that rant about wanting that Szechuan sauce.
Yep.
And bragging about breaking up that family. Well,
yep.
That really was kind of the tone for everything was family this season. So I guess in a lot of ways this does pay off everything that they were kind of building towards was Rick cannot defeat Jerry.
Nope. That's... his ultimate price is Jerry prevents him from taking over the family like he has been the whole time.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, Rick was even willing to make peace with the mayor, the president at that time.
And like, okay, that episode though, the last episode with the president, was a great episode. I liked it, but like I said, it just did not feel like a season finale episode.
It very much, I thought, I originally had heard somewhere that someone had died in it. So I was kind of looking at that episode and was like, okay, who are they killing off? Which person is going to bite the bullet this time? They killed off Bird Person the last... well, they kind of killed off Bird Person, then Phoenix Person came around.
Yeah.
But we never got any payoff from that either.
No.
But I had heard someone was going to die in the finale, so I was like, oh, who's... no one died.
No.
The only thing that really died was Rick's power over the family.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and I mean, we were even seeing that with Morty. Morty had manipulated Rick at the one episode to take Jerry out.
Yeah.
And Morty admitted, I manipulated Rick so I wouldn't have to go on an adventure.
Yep.
And we saw Morty become more
of his own independent character opposed to Rick controlling everything.
Yeah.
And like even that episode with the Citadel, when Rick, the officer Rick, gets arrested but he doesn't get anything wrong and they're like, "What happened?" And he goes, "You know, same old, same old. Rick's killing Morty's." And Morty makes a point that Morty never kills Rick. You've never seen a Morty kill a Rick. It's always a Rick killing a Morty.
Yeah. And
or Morty's killing Morty's.
We have seen a Morty attempt to do it with the second episode of Szechuan, where Morty shoots Rick.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a setup, and Morty missed that note completely. And that was interesting because that's the first time you really saw Morty just have it with Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And bop. Shoots him.
And then I also really enjoyed the, I think it was like the second last episode maybe, with the, instead of Rick and Morty doing anything, they just started rewatching memories and, Summer ends up fixing the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, what does that say right there? Summer plays a bigger role than we expect her to.
Yeah. And in that episode, there was a really cheeky line from her as well. It's like, "God, no wonder this takes so long because
you guys are always behind."
Yeah.
I love that because, like, not only was it taking a stab at Rick and Morty, but it's also taking a stab at Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland.
Yeah.
For being so far behind and everything.
Because that was the thing that we always heard was what delayed everything
uh-huh.
was that apparent rumors of fighting. Whether it's true or not, I don't think either of us will ever fully know the truth.
I can guarantee there is probably some debates between Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon, the same way there was with Dan Harmon and Chevy Chase. Not saying that Dan Harmon is the main cause of all the problems, but, like, you know, these things happen. Like Community, for example. Season 5, Dan Harmon was only present for the first two episodes.
Yeah.
And then gone for the rest of Season 5. And then came back in Season 6 and Chevy Chase was gone by then.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, it wouldn't be the first time that there's complications on set.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. But, I mean, that episode, I really like that memories. But it also showed that how much abuse both characters take. Because they were both going to kill each other.
Yep.
Kill themselves.
Yep.
And that's another underlying theme to the show is that how far do you push? Like, when Rick and Morty go on vacation, and you see them sitting there, and they just break down, and they need a break from this life.
That was such a good episode,
though.
The detox one, when they took their break. I thought that was a great episode. Like, from start to finish, I loved it. It was really funny. The humor was there, and it, like, helped the story. But then, like, you know, as the season kind of went on, it kind of just declined.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Rick and Morty lives in such a space that it has a lot of high expectations to the show, what it can do.
Because of how successful seasons 1 and 2 were.
Yeah, and I think you harken back to 1 and 2, and I think you said it really well in our Stranger Things podcast, where we talked about just can't compare season to season because they're both different. And I think the same thing can be said for Rick and Morty. Both seasons are, all three seasons have unique story to them and have a unique overarching. Like, in season 2, I'd say it's about Rick gaining to trust people, that ultimately failing because Bird Person's death, and that impacting him a great deal. And I think with that death in season 2, and now pushing him into season 3 of where he wanted to have control of the family, because he lost control in the outside world, now he has to gain that control back, and so that's where he ostracized Jerry, and we got, I really like that episode with Jerry and him losing his check to the wolf and just the abuse Jerry. Yeah, I enjoy Jerry getting abused, but it's Rick getting that power and now he's lost that. Mm-hmm. Now I really feel like Rick has lost almost everything.
Rick's kind of like, by the end of season 3, Rick has kind of almost lost his family. He's almost lost his connection with Beth that he had before, because the thing with Beth was, she was always so afraid of losing Rick again.
Yeah.
So that's why she basically catered to his needs. And he knew that.
Yeah.
And he took advantage of it. But as the season progressed and as everything kind of happened with Jerry and Jerry kind of being closer with Beth again, you know, things started changing. And Jerry kind of realized, or Rick kind of realized that, and he kind of noticed that, like, things aren't going to be the same because he was willing to just leave and go find a new planet. where Marty's like, that's fine, Rick, you go do you, but I'm going to stay here with my family.
Yeah.
And, you know, things kind of started to change, and that's when Rick realized, I better start changing or I'm going to lose them again.
So now, there's that standing rumor, because again, we saw Mr. Poopy Butthole at the end of season 3. I love every time I say that character's name.
It's so funny.
Like, they did, I give these guys so much credit for this show, because I love what they've done with the show. Mm-hmm. I love...
And the characters naming, and, like, everything they've done is so perfect.
Yeah. So we've got season 4 that will be a year and a half away.
Okay,
or so, do we see something at Christmas?
No. Season 4 is not going to happen for a while. Because if you remember, at the end of season 2, Mr. Poopy Butthole came on... And was like, hey guys, it's me, Mr. Poopy Butthole. You know, I'm doing a lot better. He's like taking all his meds because Beth shot him. And he's like, well, we'll see you guys soon for season 3 in like a year and a half maybe. Woo! And it actually was like a year and a half before
to the date.
Season 3 came out. Now, when Mr. Poopy Butthole showed up at the end of season 3 and was like, oh, it's going to be a long time. Like a really long time. I don't think we're going to get a season 4 for at least 2 years. Unfortunately. Don't think it's going to be any sooner. I think it'll be 2 years before we get a season 4. Because Mr. Poopy Butthole never gave us a specific time like he did the first time. He said a year and a half about. This time he just said a long time, like a really long time.
Yeah.
Never said the time.
Yeah. And that's one thing that kind of opens... That kind of takes the pressure off Harmon and Roland, because then there's not, like, a pressure to
put it out when they need to.
I feel like, just based on just what you kind of see some pictures and you kind of get some conspiracy theories, it seemed like they were already working on something at the end, like, just the way you'd see some pictures from them working. So I'm wondering if they've already started to work on 4.
I hope they have. I hope we get a season 4 sooner than
I can imagine it takes a lot out of Harmon and Roland, because really and truly, at the heart of it, the message from Rick and Morty is nothing matters.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to just die, and that's it. And I guess they can, dealing with that subject and having that carry through 10 episodes, it could probably wear on a person a lot.
And if I recall, Dan Harmon is the one who writes all the episodes, and Roland voices Morty and Rick.
They have a writing team, but I think final say goes through Roland and Harmon.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Harmon also writes majority of the episodes.
Yeah, we can.
At the end of the day,
I think he's a big contributor, because we saw with Community, he was very hands on.
Mm-hmm. Community was his baby, and same as Rick and Morty though, and like that's what I mean. Like the thing is.
Yeah, Roland and Harmon are both writers. Yeah. They were the writers for the Morty Mind Blowers.
Which was a good episode. That one was so funny. But, like, that's the thing. It's like, episode-wise, the first half of season 3 was really well done.
We've got Mike McCannon as another writer for the ABCs of Beth. So there are other writers, but I think at the end of the day, it's kind of like when you... It's funny, I always harken back to wrestling in one way or another. They have all these storylines for all these wrestlers, but ultimately for WWE, anything's going to go to air, it goes through Vince.
Yeah.
And Vince has the final say on everything, and I think Roland and Harmon have the final say.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of a problem, because you have two people that have final say.
Opposed to one.
So which two people would, if Harmon wants one thing changed but Roland loves it, what happens with that?
Yeah, that's why they're delaying, and there's so much issues, and that's why it takes so long for them to get a season out.
But you know, we look at this season, and it came in with high expectations. When you saw Pickle Rick, you saw Pickle Rick everywhere.
Pickle Rick blew up before the episode even aired.
And that was a good episode. I liked that episode.
Great episode.
It was gory as hell, and it was
Pickle Rick episode was probably the goriest Rick and Morty episode they have ever done.
Yeah.
And they did a good job with it.
Oh, there's a lot of really top quality stuff that they did. Again, that Citadel of Ricks, that episode is probably one of the best episodes from all 3 seasons. At least to me, it is. Just because of the writing and just the weight of everything. And just the little Easter eggs that they have throughout the whole thing. It's just like, I really loved what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I just... I'm gonna hold on to there's something at Christmas time.
You think?
I think, because the other thing, and I was gonna bring this up to you, was they had originally talked that this was going to be 13 to 14 episodes this season, and then suddenly it went down to 10 because of just a time constraint.
Yeah.
And just could not crank out the episode.
And the last episode didn't feel like it was the last episode, right?
And they even said that they had to finale-proof that episode 10. So my question to you is, do you think that there was something left on the back burner because they had to shrink it down and had to finale-proof 10? Do you think that's why we saw what we saw? I know it's all speculation, but...
It's hard to say, because, like, I do agree with you. I do feel like there could be something more, because if you recall, the very first episode of Season 3 aired on April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
And everybody thought it was just a joke, but it actually ended up being a full episode. That was probably the best thing that they could have ever done. I thought that was genius.
Oh, yeah.
But I definitely do feel like there could be more, because there's no way that that's it. That's the last episode of Season 3. And if it is, then it is, and there's not more we can do. But
yeah,
to me, it just didn't feel like that's how they should have ended it. Because if we go back to Season 1 and 2 on how they ended each of those seasons, they did a really good job with it. Season 2, if I recall, ended when Rick and Morty went to the small planet because their planet was under...
Yeah,
restrained galactic control, because Rick and Morty did whatever, and then they found a new planet, and then Rick was like, hey, Jerry, or he was like, all right, Morty, I'll be back, I'm just gonna go get some ice cream, and he leaves, calls the Galactic Federation, and gets them to pick him up,
yeah,
and take Jerry and Beth and Summer and Morty back home, scot-free.
That episode... That
was an emotional episode. And it really was like, oh, wow. Rick is really taking on maturity here, and he's really taking, you know, responsibility for his actions. And then in Season 1, when they ended it by freezing, you know, Beth and Jerry so that they don't find out what they did because they made a huge mess in the house.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what I mean. By Season 1 and Season 2 had really strong endings. This season, not so much. If they used the Evil Morty episode to end it, it would have been a different story, and I would have been like, oh man, there's so much more. There's going to be a lot more to happen now.
Yeah.
But they didn't. If they had just switched around the last three episodes, it would have been a different story.
Yeah.
And I would have said Season 3 was amazing. Yeah. Overall, it is a great season, but from start to finish, not so much. Story-wise, it missed about a couple parts.
Yeah.
And it left it with a whole bunch of unanswered questions. You can't give us an episode with Evil Morty and have, like, such a pivotal moment in the show.
Oh, yeah. And then...
to not explain it or have anything happen.
Yeah.
Like, the episodes after that just were basically a who cares about it, the last three episodes. So you had the one where...
The Mighty...
Mind Blowers, which was also a good episode.
Okay? Yeah.
And then you have the one with Beth.
Yeah.
And, like, that was a great episode alone. And then the President episode, the finale. But it just was like, you just completely forgot about everything you just did with Evil Rick, or Evil Morty taking over the Citadel of Rick's.
I mean, what you could have done is, just like you said, and there's a few things to touch on. The ABC's a Beth, is this still the original Beth, or is this...
Right, that's the other thing, too, like... You know how she's like, oh, I could be a clone, right? And you don't actually know anymore. Like, you're
is
like, oh,
she,
no.
Is she, do you think?
If I recall, the Jerry and Beth and Summer that they're with now are not the same ones that they were with at the beginning of
the because
show.
Yeah, because Love, Rick Love Potion number 9 had that world wiped out. And that was the first time the first time I was like, holy crap, this is a heavy show. Because they had to bury their dead bodies.
Yep.
So they're not even the original ones to begin with. So,
no.
And that's a cool thing. Like, if
that's
you...
the other thing too that's so funny is like the Beth and Summer and Jerry that they're with now are not even the original ones from the beginning of the show.
Do you think we'd ever see the original ones?
No.
Because did they not show at the end of that episode that they were kind of like zombie hunters surviving?
Think so. I can't remember.
So, I mean, this is a show where they can easily pull from weird things.
They can pull from all over. And that's the beauty of it, though. That's why Rick and Morty is so successful. And the other thing, too, is there's so many catchphrases from that show. And, like, all the characters alone are just so perfect and really well constructed.
Yeah, and it all has a certain amount of believability to the characters at their core. The world that they're in is way out there. But at the same time, if you go on YouTube, you can find philosophy and Rick and Morty together, which is really weird. I've always said this is a stupid show that's secretly smart.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
Because at the you see them jump on butts that fart, and then you've got, like, deep philosophical questions, like, okay, so Rick and Morty, this isn't the original Rick and Morty, this isn't their original world, so why do they care about these people around them? Like, and that Morty speech about nothing matters, just come and watch TV.
Yeah.
Just enjoy your existence until the end, basically.
Yeah.
And the end will come, and that'll be it. So it's a very bleak look on things, and just seeing that, how they play off philosophy is really, really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where it's like, this is a show that's a lot deeper. Like,
it makes you think at the same time. While it gives you the humor and the comedy, but it also makes you think, you know? Like, there's more to it than just one-liner jokes all the time, you know? And that's the beauty of Rick and Morty. And, like, especially Rick's character alone is, like, he really makes you think about life as a whole. And then Morty makes you consider, like, oh, you can really connect with Morty more than you can with Rick. And that's the beauty of Morty's character.
Yeah, and I think you look at every one of these characters. I'm sure we all know someone like Jerry that's almost parasitical and very kind of can be very hazardous to a group in some way, whether it's a family member or a friend or someone that you just know.
Mm-hmm.
They take real life people and kind of flip them and put them into these this family dynamic.
That's the beauty of the show, and like. Yeah. From the beginning, from season one, like, it's been so successful, and it's done such a good job.
It really has. Like, it really, and that's one thing. Now, my question to you is, does a potential 2-year layoff, and that's just speculation, but does this hurt Rick and Morty, or does it help drive fans crazy for it?
It helps them in the sense that, like, okay, so for example, if you get a video game, we'll use Star Wars Battlefront as a prime example here. So, Star Wars Battlefront is not a very good game.
Yeah.
And the reason for that being is because they rushed it. Because they wanted to get it out before The Force Awakens. Because they wanted everything Star Wars out before Force Awakens. Which is fair, understandable. But because they gave themselves that small time frame, they didn't perfect it and they didn't do a good job. So the game was actually missing a lot of the stuff that it should have had. Whereas, if you look at South Park, The Fractured Butthole, they have put that game off for a year. Okay, they keep pushing the release date, they kept pushing it, and it finally was released like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay, it is perfect. It is really well done. Everything about it is so much fun. I've enjoyed it. Now, with Rick and Morty, because they have given themselves an unlimited time frame here.
Yeah.
So nobody actually knows when it could come back. My guess is it 2 years, right? But yeah. I could be wrong. It could be 2.5, or it could be a year and a half. They now have as much time as they want to perfect it and perfect the show and continue to keep it true to what Rick and Morty is without having to meet a deadline and meet people's requirements. So I think, in a way, it helps them. And as long as people understand that, then it's okay. Whereas those, you know, it's kind of, at this point, it's expected. Because between season 2 and 3, we waited a year and a half. We didn't get season 3 right away. We waited a year and a half before we got season 3.
Yeah.
So, you know, now we're going into season 4. It's kind of like, it's expected for them to take a long time.
Yeah.
But we don't know. That's the difference. The difference is we don't actually know. Before, we had a general idea. Like, oh, it could be a year, it could be a year and a half. Who knows?
Yeah.
Now it's, we really don't know when the time frame of the show will come back. But we know that when it does come back, it will be good.
I think you're absolutely right on that. I do think it will be quality, because I think the one thing that, with that, it's not rushing it out. It's not capitalizing on Rick and Morty being hot. And I think Rick and Morty are that type of show that
will always be popular. And I feel like not necessarily Rick and Morty can go and gain as much popularity as, let's say, Simpsons or South Park, where South Park is on their 21st season and Simpsons is on their, like, 30th season or something like that. I do think Rick and Morty has an expiry date, I guess you could call, where it could last 5 seasons, maybe 6 if we're lucky. But, like, you know, I don't think that it's one of those shows that can just continue to run. You know, like one of those, like a Simpsons or South Park. Or even, like, Futurama went up to, I think it was 7 or 8 seasons. And Family Guy also has had a long run time. But, like, Rick and Morty is one of those shows that I think will eventually end.
I definitely think it will as well. I guess now with the talking about things ending, how does this end? How do you end a show
like Rick and Morty
that is basically about nothing matters? There,
ultimately, there's a number of ways you could end Rick and Morty. One being the first time, you know, a Morty kills a Rick, and that being a complete game changer, and then Rick realizing, oh shit, Morty can kill me.
Yeah,
I'm not as invincible as I thought I was. You know, like, there's that that also plays into factor. Or, ultimately, you know, Rick just abandons everybody and goes and does his own thing.
Yeah.
Is another way to do it. You know, like, that's the other thing, too, is it's so difficult to find a way to end the show perfectly and make it justifiable.
Yeah.
And give you the ending that you want. Whereas, like, for example, Breaking Bad gave everybody the ending that you wanted to a show. Like, that was probably the perfect ending to a show in a long time.
I can't think of any other
There's
show.
There's no other show that I personally can think of that has ended, and I'm like, wow, that's how you end a show. But you can think of a ton of shows that are like, oh, wow, that's how you ended it? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why?
Dexter,
why did it end like that?
How I Met Your Mother.
Even Lost. I've never seen Lost, but I've heard so many people complain about it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's more shows that have bad endings than good endings. Whereas a show that has a good ending is very rare.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's also the difficulty for the writers, for Harmon and Roland, is how to end the show. But I do have faith that they will give us a justifiable ending and give each character the ending that they deserve. You know?
It's not just about Rick and Morty.
No.
It's about that whole family.
It's about the whole family. Like, yes, the show is called Rick and Morty. Yes, we see a lot of Rick and Morty. But there's also Beth, Summer, and Jerry, who also play into the show. Like, they're not just there for fun. They also have major roles and have become more important characters, especially Summer now.
Yeah.
After that episode of Mind Blowers, Summer now plays a bigger role than you ever expected her to.
Yeah, because even though they yelled at her and was going off on her,
Summer, you bitch, why'd you let us sleep through Universal Television?
And it's just one of those things
you bitch.
and it's one of those things where they were ripping her apart, but if she wasn't there, they're dead.
Basically, their characters don't exist.
Yeah.
Even though they do, they just have terrible memories, and Morty just has all the bad memories of Rick.
Yeah.
And how would the show have panned out from there, had Summer not been there to reset their minds, right?
And that's the thing, it's like, oh, this is a 4, oh, crap, okay, yeah, here you guys go. And that's the thing where, the value of Summer has gone up. I think that was one of the things that they wanted to do with the
show.
And
the value of Jerry has gone up as well.
Yeah.
The Whirly Dirly experience was a perfect example of Jerry's significance to the show.
Yeah.
Because he could have easily killed Rick. He could have had Rick killed in that episode. No problem. But he didn't. Because of Beth.
Yeah. And Beth is kind of that...
The glue.
Beth
essentially.
The glue is the connection. Because without Beth, Rick would not care about these random children and would not care about Jerry. He'd just be going off and doing his own thing. So you've elevated the worth of other characters. Sure, your season 3 might have been, you might have been a little bummed by how it played out in the end, but now you've elevated players in the game to make it more impactful, because I think when you battle evil Morty, that's the big
challenge for Rick right there. But, and like, that's what I mean by, like, season 3 is not a bad season. It's good. I really enjoyed it. But if I was them, I just would have switched around the last 4 episodes. You know, like, had the evil Morty, the Citadel one, be the last episode.
Yeah.
everything else would have been fine. You could have left them in the order they were in, but kind of just switched it around.
Yeah.
And had the Citadel be in the last episode, and you would have had a phenomenal season. Like, the season's already good as it is, but some of those episodes, you can just watch by themselves and not worry about the rest of the show.
No,
you know?
And I think you're absolutely right. Like, and that's the one thing where what I would have done is, instead of Rick and Morty wanting to go on that adventure at the end, if you shuffle it around, just Morty has rejected Rick. So Rick is like, I don't want to do anything. I can't hang out with Morty. So that's where you get into the Citadel. And then you're set
exactly.
up. I do think they may have done it because I think then fans would have expected a whole season dedicated to Evil Morty. And
the other thing too is
you kind of want it now
because regardless of it being the last episode or not, that by far, like you said to me when we watched it, that was your favorite episode.
I made you watch it
so far. When we met up out in Kenora in Ontario, I hadn't watched it yet, and you were like, you need to watch this. You need to watch it right now. This is my favorite episode so far. And after that, it was your favorite episode because of all the ones after that. They weren't bad or anything, but they just weren't as good as that episode.
And
I agree with you. That episode was probably my favorite episode of the season.
And one of my favorite things was watching your reaction at the end, especially when the papers flew by, and you're just like, holy crap. Because now you're sitting there like, okay,
what's next?
What's the payoff?
Exactly.
Because that's the thing with storytelling is you've got deliverance and then you've got payoff. You've got the build up and then you've got, okay, what am I getting for all this stuff happening? Like, I don't know if you had heard, but Harmon said the Vindicators episode was his least favorite episode that he's ever done.
Yes, I did.
And the reason being is it didn't follow Harmon's kind of structure plot-wise. So, and that,
to me, I didn't mind the Vindicators episode. It was good. It was cute. I loved how... The thing, though, was that Morty was ultimately disappointed by his heroes.
Yeah.
Because of Rick. Because Rick needed to prove that Rick was better than everybody. And he really proved that, you know, Morty is not as important as he likes to think he is to Rick. Because the one who was important to Rick in that episode was not Morty. It was this random guy that had, like, no role in the show in that episode.
And you think you're going to get a vulnerable
Rick at
and
the
then...
end, and then it turns out it had nothing to do with Morty. And, like, to me, that was perfect, and it really showed that Morty was worthless to Rick. And it really proved to Morty that, like, he can do whatever he wants, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect Rick.
Yeah.
So
and
that's
unless...
why I feel like if we had switched around some of the episodes, the Evil Morty episode would have played in as a better finale. Because everything after that was, like, basically more focused on family. Morty even told Rick, you know, I'm just going to stay with them. I'd rather be with them, you know. And Beth's like, sorry, Rick. I love Jerry. I can't deny it. I don't know what was thinking, but I love Jerry.
Yeah.
You know?
And
that was the first time we really saw Beth and Jerry actually show affection together. And you really saw how much Jerry actually cares about Beth in that episode, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he reenacted their first date or whatever it was. And, like, I thought that was really important. And that really helped solidify Jerry as a character.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing, was solidifying certain characters. Because Jerry was always a fringe character in a lot of ways. Now... he is the guy that Rick can't beat. And I think the other thing that you're setting up from this season now, and I think in a lot of ways this we may look back at this as a setup season, is it's setting it up where Rick is his most vulnerable. Because if Rick had a loyal Morty to the end, like he did in previous seasons, Evil Morty wouldn't be such a threat.
Nope.
But now you've got such friction
now
there.
Now it's more so just a Rick versus Evil Morty.
Yeah.
Because Rick and Morty aren't necessarily a duo as much as they were in previous seasons.
Yeah.
Because Morty's more focused on his family now and, like, really working towards that. Where now it's just Rick on his own again.
Yeah.
And that's why he didn't leave, and that's why he made amends with the president. And that's why he's pretending to just like Jerry.
Yeah, because if he doesn't, then he loses Morty. And I feel like if he loses Morty, he can't beat Evil Morty.
No,
and I think that will be what it comes down to, is who Morty side with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who Morty sides with.
No, and the best way to think of it, too, is Rick's kryptonite is Jerry.
Yep.
If ultimately, if you think about it, Jerry is his downfall. Yeah. Always has been, and always will be.
I mean, you saw it in the Whirly-Dirly.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Morty getting in all these problems, Rick in all these problems, because of Jerry.
Uh-huh.
And every situation, like when, at the end of season two, he turns himself in because he doesn't want to just hop, and it's because of the family, it's because of Jerry, it's because of Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, everything in that last, and that's one of the problems that I think I had for three, was the last moment in season two, the song, everything,
yeah.
The way they built that up and how they had built to that episode was a big payoff,
mm-hmm.
But not only was it big payoff, but it was building up to the next thing.
And then season three, we didn't really get much of that till the end.
Yeah.
And in the end, though, the way they had it played out wasn't as good as it should have been, you know? Like,
yeah.
That was... To me, that was their downfall. But other than that, like, the season was good. I loved
yeah.
it.
Pickle Rick was great. The Whirly Dirly. I'm trying to think of other episodes that really stood out.
I love the Sesh one, even though it was, like, the first one. It was such a good one.
What do you think about Rick and Morty fans getting a bad rap now because of the Szechuan sauce?
It doesn't matter what you're a fan of, you're always going to get a bad rap for something.
I
think they are excessive, and they went a little overboard, I'm not going to lie to you, with the Szechuan sauce at McDonald's. That was a little much, but I did like what McDonald's did by giving Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland special Rick and Morty sauce.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny, but, like, you know, there was no need to be so excessive about it.
I think the other thing is, I think it's a kind of a, it's again, it's not one party being right and one party being wrong, because McDonald's didn't have a lot of Szechuan
no,
sauce.
No, and that was the point, was it was a limited run.
Yeah, and, like, they didn't even have enough for a day. They had enough for, like, 10 minutes, and
yep.
then it was gone.
I know.
So, I think it's one of those things where it's both, but the fact that we're talking about Szechuan sauce right now, because of
Rick and Morty managed to actually bring it back for a small period of time was amazing alone. And that's the power of television, and that's the power of media.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's the power of just that fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I remember before heading off to Ontario, watching that episode of Rick and Morty, because it's on loop, and I'm like, there's no way that this can't end. Sure enough,
it
was live stream, and it's like, oh my god, this is Rick and Morty, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's just that you get drawn in, because, like, I binge watched season one and two.
Yeah, absolutely.
And first time I watched it, it's like, oh, Rick and Morty, okay, fine.
Yeah.
You've twisted my arm, I'll finally watch
but
it, leave me alone.
It's so funny, too, because Rick and Morty, at the beginning, you know, like, I knew it was Harmon's next project, and I was, like, excited, and I'm like, I love Harmon, I love everything he's done.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rick and Morty, we'll see. I never got around to it. And then when I finally did, I was like, why have I waited so long to watch this show?
Oh, yeah, and,
it is so good.
And that's the thing, there's just a lot of love and appreciation for what they do
mm-hmm.
creatively, because what they just, this would not air on any other network.
Nope.
They would not nearly have as many.
Adult Swim was the perfect choice for Rick and Morty, because Adult Swim is home to a ton of other great shows, like
yeah.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Robot Chicken, The Brack Show, like C-Lab 2021, like there's just so many good shows, and Rick and Morty fits perfectly on Adult Swim, and I love that was a choice for them.
Oh yeah, and like it all clicked, because I mean, we all know about the Harmon situation with Community
and NBC,
so him going to Spot, I don't think they can just do whatever they want, but
there is, Adult Swim gives them a lot of free range, and I know this because, for example, Tyler the Creator,
yeah,
he also has two shows on Adult Swim. He did Loiter Squad, which was like his own kind of Jackassy type thing, but, like, you know, Tyler the Creator. And then now he has his own cartoon show on there called The Jellies that he
yeah.
started off on his app, Gulf Media. So, like, Adult Swim really gives cartoons a place for adults, and I
yeah.
really like what they do there.
Yeah.
And I think it's perfect, and Rick and Morty fits perfectly in the Adult Swim home.
And I think the one thing that Rick and Morty do so well is, yeah, it's a cartoon, but I think really, you could have a very in-depth conversation talking about Rick and Morty. And
because
just,
there's so much to it, and there's
yeah.
so much depth in each episode.
It's not your typical stupid... Like, it's 10 times smarter than some of the cartoons out there.
It's okay. The best way to put it is, as much as I love Adventure Time, it's not an Adventure Time. You know, like Adventure Time, it has its formula and it's a little repetitive. They've gotten better and they've actually given it story. However, Rick and Morty from the start has always had a story and always had a purpose, you know?
And I think it's just growing and it's evolving with each season. So yeah, maybe this season was a little bit slower of a season for us, but I feel more and more as I think about it. It focused
more on characters.
Yeah.
And it really solidified Jerry as a character and gave us more importance and, like, really made you realize how important Summer is to Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And even Beth. And, like, that's what I really liked about this season. As, like, it really helped us gain more appreciation for each character. It's like, for example, when I was younger, I just watched Dragon Ball Z, right? Yeah. And I used to think that Krillin and Piccolo were lame. And, like, Tien and Yamcha. And then when I watched Dragon Ball, I started to appreciate them more.
Yeah.
Because there was more story and more backstory on them, right? And more history.
Yeah.
It's the same that we got with Beth, Jerry, and Summer, is we really got more to appreciate from them as the characters grew with Rick and Morty. Because in the first two seasons, it's more so just about Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you have some things with each of the other characters, but it really focuses on those two. This season focused on everybody, and that's what I really liked about it. But I just kind of wish they switched around the episodes a little bit, you know? Like, I would have left all the episodes the way they were. I loved them, but just kind of change a few things, you know? That's the only thing. That was my only complaint.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you on that one. I think that, you know, we'll see where the next progression is, because obviously we will eventually get another season. I'd be shocked if we didn't have...
A season four.
Yeah.
I would be shocked and also disappointed, because, like, I do feel like there will be a season four, but it also won't be for a while, is the thing.
It's you just sit there, you binge watch three seasons. As Mr. Poopy Butthole said, live your life, don't wait.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll both be keeping our ears up for
a while. Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure there's gonna be more things as we kinda progress, but for now it's kinda just a wait game and I'm okay with that. I want them to perfect it before releasing it to us, you know?
Yeah. I guess my question, would you recommend season 3?
Absolutely, I would recommend all 3 seasons to anybody. If you've never seen Rick and Morty, definitely do watch it, give it a shot. It is really funny, there is a lot of humorous one-liners in there, but there's actually a lot of story to it.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the beauty in it, and each character is its own character, and you really start to appreciate and understand each one as we grow through the 3 seasons that we have so far.
Yeah, I would agree. I recommend it. It's become quickly one of my favorite shows. Just it's one of those shows that you can just watch and you get lost in for half an hour. And it's just half an hour. That's the nice thing about it. You're not committing a full hour of your time.
No.
And a lot of times they just fly by.
They do.
And it's just like, I've watched all of this already. Holy crap.
The beauty in it too was when you watch Rick and Morty, when we were watching season 3, was the first time I legitimately watched it when it was on air. I was excited each week for a new episode, you know? Like, I was always looking forward to, oh, what's the next Rick and Morty episode gonna be? Whereas, when I got into it, it was in season 2 near the end, and by the time I got to season 2, it was just finished, so I was able to binge-watch all of season 2.
Yeah.
You know, where season 3, I had to wait each week for the episode, and I was okay with that.
Yeah?
Because I was like, man, this is really good.
And I think that's the one thing that I think both of us have seen the binge watching side and then waiting week to week.
Yeah.
And I think Rick and Morty hold up both ways.
It did, absolutely.
I think there are some shows that you have to binge watch. If you don't, then you lose
interest.
Yeah. But with something like Rick and Morty, you can watch it either way. And I think 2 year wait, year and a half, I think it's doable. And that speaks to the value of the writing on the show, the characters, and just what they've managed to create.
Because you trust them, and you're like, okay, well, if I'm going to have to wait this long, I'm okay with that, because then I'll know the product is good.
Yeah.
You know? It's better to have quality over quantity.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what's important here, especially with a show like Rick and Morty, is that the quality is good and the writing is good, because that's what makes the show stand out, opposed to all the other shows.
No, and I completely agree with you, because that's what helps strengthen it and what helps make it what it is, because you see it where shows have to be turned out week in and week out. Each year they have to have a new season, a new plot line, a new storyline, new villain, and you can suffer from burnout, But this way, I don't think you get as much burnout because you've got some time where you're like, okay, decompress, focus on another project. All right, now let's get going again with Rick and Morty.
Yeah, exactly.
So they may have already have something in the can, because if they had 14 episodes, 13, 14 episodes, then they'd probably got three stories kind
ready
of already,
for next season.
Yeah, in the can already. Mm-hmm. I would recommend just stay with 10. That's what's worked.
Because the first season, if I recall, has 11 episodes. The second season has 10, and the third has 10.
Yeah.
So I'm okay if they keep it to a minimum of 10 episodes. To me, that works for them, and it works perfectly. Because then it's not giving us too much and
right
overdoing the show and adding too many extra things, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, the best way to put it is, like, for example, South Park is an example here. They used to originally do 21 episodes a season. And now they do, it was like 20 episodes a season. Now they do 10 episodes a season.
Yeah.
And they can put out two seasons a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, now that we're doing Rick and Morty with 10 episodes, it gives you a 10-episode story arc that you can focus on.
Yeah.
And not try and force other episodes in or give us a filler episode, you know?
No, and I completely agree with you, because that's the other thing is there is no filler content with mm-hmm. Rick and Morty. It's kind of, it all, in some way or another, a piece is being added because
yep.
either these characters are growing or the story is being moved
exactly.
forward.
Exactly, and that's what I love about it, even though it's only 10 episodes. Yeah. Obviously, everybody wants more, but I like how they have it, and I like the way it is. I wouldn't change it.
So, I completely agree with you, and yeah, we might be waiting a little bit for...
But it's worth it, though,
yeah.
you know? Because it's better to have something that has thought and time going into it, opposed to just rushing it out for us.
Yeah.
And be a half show.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree with you. So, is there anything more... On your mind?
That's about it, yeah.
You got Schwifty?
Got Schwifty.
So...
Get riggedy ripped.
I really enjoy the show.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. Social media, I guess.
Social media. You can follow me on Instagram at Supreme Wizard. On Twitter, you can follow me at Greg the Kitten.
And what's Jesse's Twitter?
Jesse's Twitter, if I recall, is like Derby Destroyer or something. I don't know.
I think if you want interesting tweets...
Interesting tweets, definitely Jesse.
I think last night he was tweeting about Frosties.
Oh, yeah, he definitely wanted his Frosty. Let me
so, if you want to follow someone that will make your night more interesting, it's actually Jesse Barbarian. We'll have a link
right.
in the description, so... He'll update you on produce and Frosties and all that good stuff. You can find me on at Joel Johnson TV on Instagram and Twitter. My main one is Instagram. I like taking pictures. But Jesse Barbarian, that is the must follow from this. And he's also a Rick and Morty fan.
Sure is.
So stay tuned for more podcasts. Definitely have me and Anthony doing a bunch more stuff down the line. So stay tuned and we'll be back.
We'll see you later.
Sorry I'm late, Mr. President. Had a little crisis at work.
Worth it!
It's no problem. A little more off the top. You were saying, Garment District Rick?
We were saying... President Morty, that we don't care who sits in that seat. A Rick, a Morty, a goddamn Jerry, doesn't matter. We've been running the Citadel since before the Council, and you'll find that we're still running it now.
Does he really speak for everyone here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it's important to be clear. Raise your hand if he speaks for you.
Is that enough off the top?
I don't know. Is it?
Yes, yes, goddamn,
I think
yes.
It's great. Good. This seems like a good time for a drink, and a cold, calculated speech with sinister overtones. A speech about politics. About order. Brotherhood. Power. But speeches are for campaigning. Now is the time for action.